Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
John Dixon here. Welcome to Reflection. This week, we're looking at The Da Vinci Code, the book and the film. Last night, I started to list the more than a dozen historical mistakes made in the book in just 20 pages of dialogue. And by mistakes, I don't just mean stuff Christians don't like. I mean statements which all professional historians would find either baseless or completely false. I listed seven of them last night. Let me continue to quote from the book and then point out these factual errors. On pages 233 to 234, Dan Brown's characters are talking about how Emperor Constantine in the 4th century invented the idea of Christ's divinity, and then produced some new gospels to support the idea and got rid of the original gospels. That's the claim anyway. Here's the quote. "Nevertheless, establishing Christ's divinity was critical to the further unification of the Roman Empire and to the new Vatican power base. The twist is this," Teabing said, talking faster now. "Because Constantine upgraded Jesus' status almost 4 centuries after Jesus' death, thousands of documents already existed chronicling his life as a mortal man. To rewrite the history books, Constantine knew he would need a bold stroke. Constantine commissioned and financed a new Bible, which omitted those gospels that spoke of Christ's human traits and embellished those gospels that made him godlike. The earlier gospels were outlawed, gathered up, and burned." Well, let me continue the list of mistakes. I think we're up to number 8. Number 8. There were never thousands of documents chronicling Jesus' life. There just weren't. 9. The New Testament Gospels can't have been a product of Constantine's editorial agenda because we know they were completed and published almost 2 centuries before Constantine was even born. He was born in 272. The 10th mistake, ironically, Christ's so-called human traits are less prominent in the extra Gospels referred to by Brown and more prominent in the New Testament Gospels. Brown gets this completely back to front. The 11th mistake, so far as we know, Constantine didn't do any gathering and burning of non-New Testament Gospels. That just wasn't part of his agenda. Well, next, Brown's characters go on to talk about how some of these extra Gospels, the ones written about after the New Testament Gospels, were discovered. Let me quote from the book. He makes a great deal of it. "Fortunately for historians," Teabing said, "some of the Gospels that Constantine attempted to eradicate managed to survive. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the 1950s, hidden in a cave near Qumran in the Judean desert. And of course the Coptic Scrolls in 1945 at Nag Hammadi. In addition to telling the true Grail story, these documents speak of Christ's ministry in very human terms. Of course, the Vatican, in keeping with their tradition of misinformation, tried very hard to suppress the release of these scrolls." Well, the list of mistakes continues. We're up to number 12, I think. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947, not in the 1950s, and were found across 11 caves, not just one. 13th mistake. More importantly, there is not a single Christian text among the Dead Sea Scrolls, let alone a Christian gospel. The Dead Sea Scrolls are entirely Jewish documents, not Christian ones at all. The 14th mistake is this. The Nag Hammadi manuscripts referred to by Brown, these are the so-called Gnostic Gospels, were never under Vatican control. They are all easily accessible to the public at the Coptic Museum of Cairo. Well, two more factual errors, and then I'll finish. Error number 15 has to do with why Christians meet on a Sunday. Here's the relevant quote from the Da Vinci Code, page 232. Teabing chuckled. "Constantine was a very good businessman. By fusing symbols, dates, and rituals into the growing Christian tradition, he created a kind of hybrid religion that was acceptable to both parties. Originally, Langdon said, Christianity honoured the Jewish Sabbath of Saturday. But Constantine shifted it to coincide with the pagans' veneration day of the sun." He paused, grinning. To this day, most churchgoers attend services on Sunday morning with no idea that they are there on account of the pagan sun god's weekly tribute, Sunday. Well, there's the 15th mistake. All scholars agree that gathering for Christian worship on a Sunday originated not in the 4th century, but in the 1st century, and was very well established throughout the east and west of the Roman Empire by the 2nd century. It had nothing to do with the worship of the sun, and everything to do with the day the Christians said Jesus had been raised to life. Well, the last factual error comes from the Da Vinci Code's discussion of one of these extra gospels. To try and prop up the idea that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and had children with her, Brown offers us a quotation from what is called the Gospel of Philip. Now, keep in mind that no historian thinks that the real Apostle Philip wrote the Gospel of Philip. The text is a 2nd or 3rd century forgery in the name of Philip. Anyway, here's the Da Vinci Code quote and the 16th significant error. Page 245, Da Vinci Code. Teabing located a huge book and pulled it toward him across the table. The leather-bound edition was poster-sized like a huge atlas. There are photocopies of the Nag Hammadi and Dead Sea Scrolls, which I mentioned earlier, Teabing said. The earliest Christian records. Troublingly, they do not match up with what the Gospels say in the Bible. Flipping toward the middle of the book, Teabing pointed to a passage. The Gospel of Philip is always a good place to start. Sophie read the passage. And the companion of the Saviour is Mary Magdalene. Christ loved her more than all the disciples and used to kiss her often on the mouth. The rest of the disciples were offended by it and expressed disapproval. They said to him, "Why do you love her more than all of us?" The words surprised Sophie, and yet they hardly seemed conclusive. It says nothing about marriage. Au contraire, Teabing smiled, pointing to the first line. As any Aramaic scholar will tell you, the word companion in those days literally meant spouse. Langdon concurred with a nod. Well, apart from the fact that Dan Brown misquotes this relevant portion of the Gospel of Philip, verse 55, there is a more basic, almost funny mistake made here. Here's the 16th error. The word companion in the Gospel of Philip, verse 55, can't have meant spouse in an original Aramaic, because the Gospel of Philip was never even written in Aramaic. It's written in the Coptic language. And you know, even the Coptic word doesn't mean spouse. Now, I'll say a lot more about Jesus' alleged marriage to Mary Magdalene later in the week. For now, I think it's just worth pondering the fact that in just a few pages of dialogue, Dan Brown's characters make at least 16 factual errors. The opening claim of the book says, quote, "All descriptions of artwork, architecture, documents, and secret rituals in this novel are accurate." Well, I can only say as a historian, this introductory claim is itself a work of fiction. Now, I admit to feeling pretty petty about these minor inaccuracies, about pointing them out anyway. And I guess, you know, it's still possible to make 16 small errors in just 20 pages and still be onto something significant in the big claims. So tomorrow night, I want to start looking at the really big claims of the Da Vinci Code. I want to assess whether these have any claim to history. I really hope you can join me.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.